Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Prosperous Conversations with Regina T. Green. My name is Regina T. Green, and the purpose of this podcast is to have the hard, the tough, the uneasy, the loving, and the fun conversations that help us to grow and propel us to move forward, propel us into our God-given destiny. The conversations may vary, and I'll have interviews with powerful, impactful, anointed people who's going to help us move to our next level. So tune in, invite a friend, and let's talk. Welcome to the conversation. Well, hello, and today I have a special guest on the Healthy Prosperous Conversations. I have Miss Brittany, and I'm going to have her introduce herself. We're going to have a really good conversation around the workforce, the career. How do you get into a career that you may or may not have experience in? Or how do I have the confidence to interview when I'm not that great at interviewing? So, Brittany, would you mind just introducing yourself, letting us know who you are, and then we'll go from there?
Absolutely. Thank you, Regina. And hello, everyone. My name is Brittany Jenkins Morrow, and I have been working in workforce development over the past 10 years. So I have had the great honor to work at our local level, our state level, and also at the nonprofit level, which is coming up with innovative ideas, innovative ways to impact the workforce and just to make the whole workforce ecosystem just a stronger and better entity throughout the state of Georgia.
I love it. I love it. So do you find joy in helping people in this way?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. I found a lot of joy in hearing career plans and helping individuals just to map those out. When I worked at the local level, I was able to work as a career coach. So individuals would come in and some would know what they wanted to do and some had no idea. So we would kind of look at some labor market information, which is a really good tool to look at if you're interested in knowing like what are the high demand industries or if this industry that I'm wanting to go into or this occupation I'm looking to go into, how does that look 10, 15 years from now? You know, will that still be something that's in demand or, you know, will that be something I will have to pivot from and possibly, you know, return and get more training so I could kind of go into another area or another field?
Oh, that's so good. I mean, if I think back in my younger years, I would have like really wanted a career coach to help me in that space because I mean, there are some people who are really good at pivoting, then there's some people who are not so good at pivoting. So, you know, having that information at your fingertips is just so good to have just in case I am the type of person that don't really want to pivot. I want something that I can stay in. It's going to be there. It's thriving and I can continue to move forward and grow in that space. So that's really, really, that's awesome. So I want to talk about some success habits for your career. What have you found or what have you seen or helped people in when it comes to having success in your career? What are some tips that you can share with those who are wondering, how can I get promoted? How can I be successful where I am and grow at the same time?
I think one of the greatest pieces of advice that I was given was from someone who had been in the industry longer than I. One thing she said to me, she said, you know, Brittany, always be your authentic self, but yet be professional. And that's something that I have just kept with me along the way. I always come off as authentic because one, helping people is a passion. So I don't have to dress that up or, you know, make it seem forced in conversations or interactions because that just comes across quite naturally because my passion is to help people. So when I am doing things like being a career coach or even when I went and decided to work at the state office, which was more of an administrative role of some of our state workforce funds, even in the office where I wasn't directly serving the public, you know, in a direct point of view, but just being in the office, I would advocate, you know, for the individuals that I remember coaching at the local level. And, you know, so in those meetings, they would say, oh man, we could feel your passion, you know, that would come across to them. So it was always authentic. So being authentic, and I think being authentic is a byproduct of your passion. When you're passionate about something, you know, people can tell. They can tell, they can pick up on the cues, whether, you know, that you are being authentic or if you're, you know, just kind of pretending or trying to dress it up to be something that it isn't. So I think being authentic is definitely something that has stuck with me, remaining professional, networking. right? So one of the greatest advice I ever got from my dad was never burn bridges. I think we've all heard that. Never burn your bridge. You never know when you may have to cross it again. And that is so true. In workforce development, even throughout the whole state of Georgia, there are people way in South Georgia that knows individuals up here in Metro Atlanta. I mean, they know them, they conversate, and they'll say, oh, you know, Brittany Jenkins Morrow. Yeah. She's from Camden. Oh yeah. I know her. So just, you know, that networking piece, but also in networking, you have to remember that your character follows you, how you act, how you treat people, that follows you everywhere you go. So it just does. Making sure, you know, just remaining professional, remaining authentic. But I also think also just, again, tapping into that passion, because that's going to come through and people are going to remember that. They're going to remember that. And when you're networking, you know, always, you know, just maintain a good character about yourself when you're networking. You know, make sure that you're not burning those bridges. You know, we teach courses on work ready skills or soft skills, or, you know, people call it so many things, life skills these days. But having those skills, understanding communication, understanding conflict resolution, right? Because there's going to be conflict in the workplace. Absolutely. You know, it's going to be conflict in life, but the way you handle the conflict makes all of the difference. So even if there was something you may have disagreed with someone, you know, at a previous job or in a previous organization, you know, they won't say, okay, well, she's a mean person. No, she's passionate. It was a disagreement, but, you know, that's a byproduct of her passion. She didn't agree with the way, you know, this was being handled. So just, again, just networking, always network, always try to make a good impression, being authentic, and just, you know, wearing that passion. People respect your passion.
They really do. And you can tell. I can tell just by what you're talking about and how it just keeps flowing that you're very passionate about helping people in this space, and I love it. I want to talk about authenticity, because that's one of my favorites, like being real, being true to yourself. How, what would you say about being true to yourself in a workplace where it's professional but you haven't necessarily been in a professional environment? How do you balance out authenticity with, you know how they say, I'm just being real. I'm just going to say what's on my mind. I can't hold back because this is who I am. Like, how do you say, how do you professionally do that? Because I hear that. I've heard it in the past at workplaces, and it just doesn't always rub well when, you know, sometimes you got to clean it up a little bit without being fake. You know what I mean?
I definitely think that being authentic and maturity goes together. I think you have to have a level of maturity to understand when to speak and when not to speak. Yeah. There has been times where I have wanted to speak and sometimes have been provoked, you know, because, hey, conflict happens. These things happen. Absolutely. You know, there's no point in trying to pretend that they do not.
Right.
But there's been times where I felt like, you know, I could have been backed into a corner, but I learned through mistakes, as we all do. The Bible said Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. And that is for us too. So, you know, I have gotten, you know, professional pops on the hand from individuals that will come to me and say, hey, you know, you have great potential, but, you know, you need to work on, you know, your communication. And sometimes, you know, communication, your facial, how do you, when you're in conversation and someone says something you don't like, or if you feel like they're wrong and you're right, that passion, right? I'm right. You know, this is the passion is pushing me, which is great. But sometimes, you know, it's better to leave things unsaid or to clean it up, like you said, and package it more, you know, more sugar than salt. So I think, again, just the maturity, understanding also the work that you're doing. Sometimes you lashing out or you being real is not doing anything for the work, you know. What I do, everything that I'm doing in workforce development, whether it's directly or indirectly, is impacting people. So I always keep that in mind. What about the people? How is this going to help?
We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the Healthy Prosperous Conversations. And I have Miss Brittany speaking, and she has been talking about careers, and she has shared such good nuggets so far. And she's talking about how she has been just committed to the people, helping the people grow. This is about the people. So let's tune in.
Help the people. If I'm constantly bickering in the workplace or going back and forth with certain things that have no value, I feel that it's taken away from the work I could be doing to help impact the people.
That is
something that stayed in my mind. I want to share this. It was what is the guy's name? He is a popular pastor, Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn said he had a vision one time, and he said in the vision that there were people jumping off the side of a bridge, and it was hundreds of people. They just kept jumping off the side of the bridge. And he said, "Lord, you know, why are you showing me this?" And he said, "This is what will happen to the people if you don't complete your assignment. These people are assigned to you. And if you don't stay the course, these people would never be reached." Mm. And that is something that I have kept with me. And I need you to repeat that
one more time. If these people, what? Say it one more time, please.
I can feel chills. If you don't stay on your assignment, if you don't continue on what I have given you to do, the people that's connected to you will never be reached. And that's why they were jumping off the bridge.
Wow.
And he was showing them, these are the people. If you don't come, if you don't continue your journey, if you don't stay focused, if you don't stay diligent and steadfast, these people they won't make it.
Oh.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's so good.
I feel chills. And that is something, even when I feel defeated, even when something I'm trying to launch didn't happen, or this project didn't come to fruition, or I didn't feel well received in certain rooms. I keep that in mind. I have to keep going, because there's certain things and certain people, certain events, certain times that I'm connected to, and they're waiting on me to get there. You know, someone needs what I'm doing, you know. Even if it's one, I heard a pastor said one time, he said, even if Jesus was coming for just one, he still would have came. And so I keep that in my mind. That's what about so the people? Who's going to help the people? And that helps keep my mind straight. It helps keep me in the fight, keeps me going. That's, you know, so I think sometimes you have to reflect on, why are you doing what you're doing? You know, even if you're not
behind the wood.
Right. Even if you're a nurse, even if you're doing something else, even if you're working at McDonald's right now until something else opens up, you have to keep the vision in front of you. Why am I doing? I'm working at McDonald's because I'm going to school, because I want to get a degree in nursing, because I want to help people. I want to help discover a cure for cancer. You have to keep those things in front of you. And on days when no one's watching, and no one's around, I'm not all did up, not all made up, that is going to be the gas that keeps me going.
That is so good. I mean, I thought about so many things when you were talking. It was just so good. Like, I see the importance of writing the vision, because there are times, there are challenges, there are things, there are days you're going to just not want to show up. But you got to keep that in mind, what you're saying. You got to know, what is the vision that God gave me? And I think that's important about not just going and getting any job, but what am I passionate about? What gift did God give me where I can flourish? I believe we can use our gifts anywhere, probably where we're planted. But like, how did God call me in this earth to be able, what did he call me to do in this earth? Am I passionate about the work that I'm doing? And while I'm doing it, do I have my mind on the goal of why? Like, that is just so good. I heard all of that in there. And yes. I think that should speak to somebody who is just applying for anything, going and doing anything. And it doesn't, and I hate to say light you up, but yeah, light you up, like really adds some type of excitement for you to do it. And not that we get caught up on excitement, because I'm sure it's not excitement every day. There are some challenges, right? We can't just look at, oh, I'm not excited, so this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. But like, what lights you up even when there are challenges? What is it that you can continue to keep your eyes on the vision and the goal that God has set before you, so that you don't give up and forget about the people who might jump over that bridge? I love that. That is just so good. So good. Let's talk about interview skills. What do you say to someone who is getting ready to interview? they're not that great, you know? I mean, they haven't interviewed in a while, or they know they carry the skill, because I want to make this two part. They know they carry the skill, but their interview skills are a little rusty. And then I want you to talk to the person who feel like they're not qualified. They got the interview, but they feel like they're not qualified. How do they have the confidence to continue and to do well on the interview?
Yeah, absolutely. I think having the skill is half the battle, right? You know you can do it, but you haven't interviewed in a while. I love technology. The fact that you can actually take out your phone and practice and record yourself and pay attention, to your words. Are you stumbling over your words? How is your posture? Are you making eye contact with the camera as if it's the individual, that's interviewing you? I think that is a great tip. I think being authentic. We work with a lot of employers up here, a lot of our employer partners, and they get their resume, of course. There's a study that was put out that says that the average hiring manager looks at a resume for 6 seconds. So 6 seconds they look at a resume, which I think, some may be longer, but I'm pretty sure larger organizations, you got 100, 150, 200 resumes. You don't have 15, 20 minutes, right, to just sit down and go through that resume. So I'm pretty sure, the focus were probably on the middle to larger organizations. But being able just to make a good impression with your interview skills, answering the question, taking time to hear the question and repeat it. Sometimes you can buy a little bit of time by repeating the question. It gives you time to really dissect the question, understand it, and then, be able to answer it more efficiently. I also think a great interview tactic is to bring in your own questions, right? That's a great way to see if you're even a match for the position. So I was got the chance to talk to some youth up here on yesterday, and it was about 600 students. And I was telling them, I said, you guys, and this kind of goes into the other example you gave about how to encourage someone who may feel that they're inadequate. I said, you guys are the asset. One thing that the pandemic taught us is that the person, the employees, are the assets. Without employees, nothing is moving in these industries. The TDL, remember, you couldn't get toilet tissue.
I remember that. I still don't
Right. The trucks wasn't moving fast enough. There was
understand
workers, that were going on strike for different reasons. Nurses, in the medical industry, the healthcare field, they were going on strike. So having them to understand you're the asset. And
it,
that's the attitude you have to take on. You are the asset. You're going into that interview. Yes, you're interviewing with an employer, but at the end of it all, you're the asset. You are the asset. Nothing runs without the employee. The employee is the biggest asset, and especially with the temperature in the labor market, a lot of industries have relaxed some of their qualifications where there once was a need for 4-year degrees. It's like, hey, you got a high school diploma and you're willing to learn? Come on. We'll teach you. It's a lot of industries that have looked into doing more like apprenticeship programs where they can get in partnerships with their local technical colleges and do some of that instructional training, but also have these individuals to go ahead, come in with a fresh mind, an innovative mind, which I love talking to the younger generation. I think they're Gen Z because they're so innovative. Innovative,
So innovative,
forward thinking, and that is assets. That's assets to these industries. And so, going in with being authentic and bringing your ideas, because every business is looking to do something more efficiently, right? More being more efficient, more effective. That's across the board, rather whatever industry you're in. So just having that confidence, knowing I'm bringing something. When I sit down and we doing this, interview, and they're asking me these questions, and I'm taking the time to repeat the question to give myself time to gather my answer and be able to regurgitate it back out. Like, I'm the asset. So
That's
just
so
having
good.
that self-confidence, in yourself, taking time to meditate before, the interview is a great way to calm yourself. I know a lot of us, all of us, have once time or another just experienced anxiety, because that's just a natural feeling of the human body. But just being able to calm yourself and just have that self-confidence, knowing that, hey, I know this is a position, I know it may be a higher position or what have you, but I am the asset.
That's so good. I bring some good stuff to the table, in other words.
Yes.
That is so good. That's one of the
Yes.
things that I never really looked at I looked at requirements when I was applying, and I'm like, look, I know that I can learn fast. That was like a selling point. I know I can learn fast. If you teach me and you have training, I can get it. Like, I've gotten
Yes.
jobs that I have not been qualified for. I have gotten turned down for jobs. I've interviewed two or three times for the same job that I really wanted. And finally, the person would call me back and I'd get it. Like, I've done that. And gosh, everything you're saying is just so true. We just have to come and know that we are the asset. Like,
Yep,
they
we are the
need
asset.
you, just as bad as you need them. So, yeah, that alone gives confidence for somebody to show up. Like, you know what? I may not have this, but I have a transferable skill that can show up and give you what you need to get the results that your company's looking for. So I absolutely love that. So I think you kind of covered what employees look for.
Yeah, and you just said a term, transferable skills. Like, during the, we do a lot of work, is we really take a deep dive into the workforce, looking where is it going, where is it at, what is the health of the workforce, what are we needing, what are industries needing, what are businesses needing, and those transferable skills. Hospitality industry took a big hit during COVID, and it really has not bounced back. So you had a lot of individuals leaving out of some of the hospitality jobs and looking to go into different industries. And one thing that we discovered is a lot of industries were really open arms to receive these individuals because of transferable skills. Something as simple as customer service, understanding sales, like those things that can transfer into other industries. So I think that was a good term that you just threw out there, was those transferable skills. Don't think because I'm working at McDonald's, I don't have enough skill set to go work for Google. That's not
That part.
true. You have skills under your belt that will benefit you at Google as well.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I hope that you all heard that. Like, do not let your limited mindset make you believe that you can't go to the next level because you don't feel qualified, but there are transferable skills.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love that. How do you implement God in your career? Like, I know that I have people come to me and they say, I'm afraid to talk about God, or I'm afraid to, let it be known that I'm a believer. How do you suggest doing that in an environment where, you don't want to seem like you're pushing this on somebody?
One thing I can say right now, I think in all, mostly all companies, all industries, it's just this openness of inclusion. That is a term that we have heard more now in the last couple years than ever before, right? We've been in the workforce for a long time. I'm like, I've never had REI training. I've never had DEI. What is this? So it is something that has become such a golden term right now. So it kind of fuels everyone to be their authentic. We keep saying that word, right? Authentic. It really fuels everyone to be their authentic self. So being a Christian in the workplace, it's accepted, just like with other religions, respectfully, it's accepted because a lot of organizations and companies are huge on inclusion and diversity and equality inside of the workplace. But on a personal level, I am a Christian, I am a believer, and I carry God within me. And he really, sometimes I'm like, no, I want to do it this way. But those values and those morals help to drive even who I am in the workplace. Without God, y'all would not get this, Brittany. This is not the one that would show up. So it's a benefit to the workplace, a relationship, with God, because it really empowers me to do the work, and it helps with the passion that I have to help people, So I think that again in the workplace, just the whole initiative around being inclusive and having everyone in the workplace to feel comfortable and having everyone to feel that you can be your authentic self and
I
whatever
love
that
it.
is. You kind of see that on the HR side with different holidays and requests for sabbaticals and things like that. So you can see how the workforce has really just grown, you know, over the last couple of decades, because I'm pretty sure in our parents' generation, there was no policy, you know, around taking a sabbatical you know, or even, you know, different types of dress based on religion or, you know, or your orientation preference. Like, none of those things existed. So I think right now it's a great time, you know, just to be in the workforce because it's so much openness to who you are.
That's so good. And I mean, even with the talking about, you know, the openness and the change that that has happened over the years, remote opportunities, you know, it's just so big. Remote opportunities and what is it called? Hybrid opportunities are there. I mean, back in the day, you would be like, oh, I would love to have a remote job. But now it's like, you can have that too. I mean, there is no limits, I think.
There is not.
Yeah, when it comes to the workplace. And I hear people say, and I want to know what you would say to this person. People say, I cannot find a job. There is nobody hiring. I can't get a job. What kind of advice would you give to that person who's saying that?
I do think they should probably tell the truth and just say, hey, I can't find the job I really want. That I could be more understanding, but, you know, to make it more broad to say I cannot find a job, I would say that there's definitely opportunities all around. Sometimes you have to do this until you can get to that, right?
Yes.
And I think, I don't apologize about my dog, but I think that is something that that individual have to take into context. You know, you may be wanting to work at Google, but you may have to start out in Best Buy. You know, I would say encourage that person. If you can't get in that position that you want, or if that particular company is not hiring or you're finding it difficult, I would say to stay in that industry if that's where you are and that's where you want to be, and maybe take a job that may not be at Google, but maybe at your local Best Buy, or maybe be at your local small IT firm to get experience.
Yes.
Because sometimes people can think they're ready for certain positions and they're not. And that was me. I was guilty of that. I thought I was ready for management until I had to try to manage people.
Oh my
And
God.
That is a job all in itself. So
it absolutely
I think going through the process, you know, taking jobs that are in the same industry that you're interested in, even if it is not, you know, with the exact company or the exact occupation that you that you
I think that goes back to knowing your authentic self. And that goes into looking for jobs too. If you know, do I really want to deal with people like this all the time? You got to know who you are and what you bring to the table and what you like. If you know that you don't really like the interaction with people, don't go apply for a sales or a customer service job, you know, because you're going to always be in people's face. Now, of course, in the workplace, you're going to be connected to people, but like the constant answering the phone and being in front of people all the time, you may not want to go in that direction. So I think that goes back to you know, think about yourself whenever you are applying for jobs, because that's going to matter in the long run. And then when it comes to managing people, oh my gosh, I think about, well, I'm going to go back to what you said about taking a job and then moving to the next. I worked in logistics and supply chain. I started out as a receiver, like unboxing, unloading trucks, unboxing, putting it into the system as received in. I started there. They told me I needed to get a degree. I went and got my degree. Guess what? I still was working there in the same role. And that can hit our pride real hard. Like, wait a minute, how am I still here? But I was willing because I knew that I wanted to be in this industry. I knew that I served in the military and did it, right? So I knew this is what I wanted. So let me just do the work now so that I can go ahead and take that next promotion when it comes. But I did that for like 3 years until I was promoted to the next. I actually was patient. I actually ended up getting a whole master's degree in that same role. And then I was promoted. But I think that says a lot to how bad do you want it? How bad do you want what you want? And are you willing, are you going to give up? Are you going to stay the course until you find that thing? So I think that was really, really good advice for those who are at that level and think like, well, I've been in here for 6 months, you know, this microwave type of stuff. And man, don't they have so many programs now where you can come in leading? You can come in leading.
Straight out of college, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. I was telling the kids yesterday, I said, I wish I understood apprenticeships back then. I wish I understood the model like around 16. But that was not written out for us. We didn't really have a great
Wasn't.
understanding of what that was or what all occupations are connected, you know, to apprenticeships. I was like, man, I might have, you would have taken that route, you know? So I agree. There's so many opportunities. There's so many internships that's embedded into companies. Like for instance, Microsoft has a Microsoft Leap program. You don't have to have anything but a high school diploma. You can apply for that program for Microsoft. They're going to take you in. They're going to train you. They're going to mold you and they're going to pay you and you're going to be a Microsoft employee. Who knew? All these opportunities. And so,
So many.
just doing the work, going and actually researching, understanding, what you are called to do, what industry or what lane you're supposed to be in. I seen someone post on LinkedIn that said, when you're in your own lane, there's no traffic. So being in your own lane, there's no traffic.
I love
But staying focused, like you were saying, staying focused on your goal, on your passion, on what you want to do, and not being easily distracted. You can do anything. You can go
Absolutely.
anywhere that you want. But just seeking out the knowledge, seeking out different pathways to all of these opportunities, they're out there. They are out there.
Yes, absolutely. I hear work on your mindset so that you don't believe a lie, and causing you to miss opportunities that's right there in front of your face. So that's what I hear in that. Just one more question and then we can wrap it up. I want to talk about
Oh,
negotiation.
so
I know,
soon.
right? I can go on and on and on about this conversation because this is
So
something that I just want people to step into the thing that they're called to do, be in that place. That is a It just lights me up. And I thought about somebody that I helped a couple of years ago, served in the military, got out, was working at a, at their beginning job when they get out of the military. I call it a beginning job, but had so much skills and so many gifts. And I went to him like, why did you apply for this or that? Did you go here? And he said, no, like, I don't have, like, I don't think I can get in. I don't know that many people. And I'm like, what? Like, you have this. I mean, I went to listen out all these things and I wrote up the resume and I'm like, now go apply. What are you doing? And he actually went and applied and got the job. And he has grown ever since then. But just to be able to help those kind of people and hearing that you're in a role where you can help those kind of people, I absolutely light up when I see people step into that kind of thing. So I'm so grateful that you are in this, doing the thing that you love and allowing God to use you in that space. But anyway, that was a side note. Negotiation. Negotiations, when you get the job, when you showed up and you proved yourself, right? What do you say about negotiations when it comes to the job offer? Like, how do you counter successfully? Do you counter? How do you know when to counter? Like, how do you know those things?
I think a great thing about a lot of, not all, but a lot of organizations or companies is that they ask you your desired salary or your desired wages. What is so funny is that the position that I have now, when I applied for it, and it said desired salary, I put lower than what they
I've done that.
initially, and I was like, oh well, I'm just gonna, and I have that's a habit of mine that I'm trying to break. I will lowball myself. I will lowball my, but I will see all the potential in someone else. Like, yeah, girl, you should ask for, this amount, that amount, da-da-da. But when it comes to me, it's like, well, I, maybe, I should just do this. But but anyway, I kind of lowballed myself. I did lowball myself, not kind of lowballed myself. They gave a range, so I didn't know, exactly where I would fit. So I was like, oh well, I'll in this range, I'll just go here. And I actually end up getting more. But I do think that it's nothing wrong with, having a counter offer because you know what you're bringing. You know the skills that you have. You know your abilities. And it's okay to counter offer. They expect you to counter offer. And I tell my 17-year-old son this. I said, the worst thing someone can tell you is no. But how many times have you heard no? I've heard no so many times.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. Okay. So, you know, the worst thing they can say is, you know, no. And sometimes it may have to do with company budgets. They are budgets. They, some nonprofits, you know, they have boards, so they can't exceed this amount of money because they're operating off funding, you know, federal funding or things like that. But I do highly suggest, you know, counter offer. The, the worst thing they can say is no. And then if they don't have the ability to do it, then you have a decision to make. Would you, you know, accept the job with this wage, or will you continue to, you know, on your job search journey? So I do think it is great to counter offer. I suggest taking time to think about exactly what you really want, or also having understanding of how much do you need to make before, you know, applying for these jobs or going for these positions, like, you know, calculate. I always tell people, think about your fringe benefits, think about your tax, all these deductions now. So if the job is saying 85K a year, 85K is not coming to you.
It's not coming.
You have deductions. You know, so do consider these things when you're thinking about, you know, a number of how much money you need to, you know, you need to make that would benefit you the most. And then if they can't meet that number, if they don't give you that number, counter, send an email, you know, kind of offer. Thank you for the opportunity. You're excited about it. However, you know, and then be able to make a counter offer. And again, the only thing they can say is no. And how many times have you heard no?
Oh my gosh. I had to learn that. I'm serious. Like, I have accepted lower than, and I'm like, why did I do that? I've done that. And, you know, I've learned, like, no, just take the no if you have to.
Yeah.
But step out on and bet on yourself when it comes to that. I love that. And but you see how, like, our own limitations can hinder what God has sitting right in front of you. You know, I remember my last job offer. And I was at the place where I'm like, I'm not taking any more lowball stuff. I ain't doing it, right? And I shot this number out there, thinking I was thinking that I was high. I shot a high number, I thought, and they came back with a higher number. I was like, oh, okay. I was so excited, like, whoa! I bet on myself, and they betted even more. Like, that was just so good. But I think it comes when you decide that I'm worth this,
because you're the asset. We are at the employee is the asset. We are the assets. They need us, you know, and I don't want to dress it up in no fancy term. Just simple as that. They need you. They need you. They need your creativity. They need your innovation. They need you. Every single company is looking for ways to be more efficient. And you have efficient type ideas inside of you. The great thing about new hires is they come in with fresh eyes and they see things that people who've been there for years have forgot about. They have got kind of, you know, into the little circle of, you know, their day-to-day operations of being inside of an organization. Those fresh eyes come in. They're like, wait a minute, y'all doing it this way? No. Right. You know, with these ideas. Just keep in mind, everyone that's listening, you are the asset. You have to adopt that mindset. I am the asset. I am the sugar in this tea. I am the honey. Like, I am the asset. I make everything greater. And you have to have that esteem about yourself. And I know that that is personal. And I know some people struggle with that. But you have to build yourself up. Because if you're not built up, and if you don't see these things in yourself, no one else will.
I was just about to ask you, how do you encourage somebody that's in that space?
Yes, you're the asset. Because everyone is just so unique in their own way. We all created in the image of God. And God is so huge and so, you know, so vast that we all have something different, right? Absolutely. We all have something great, something different. And just understanding that piece. I bring something. I've been sent here for a reason. You know, I have an assignment that is connected to me for my duration of my time here on the earth. What am I supposed to do with it? What am I supposed to do with this time? As I'm getting older in my 30s and 40s are saying, hey girl, we see you coming. As I am getting older, I am realizing time and how much time just matters.
It matters. Yes.
What am I doing? You know, what am I doing on this earth? What am I sent to do? You know, am I completing what God has called me to do? Because I want to say this, and I hope it's not offensive, but one thing that I have come to learn in my journey with God, when I accepted Christ, I became saved, and we need salvation. We have to accept Christ to be saved. Right. But as you grow and mature, your palate starts to, you know, it expands. Like, okay, I'm saved. So I know, you know, that I, you know, on the other side, I'm going to see the Lord.
Right.
Oh, I want to make him proud. So what is it that you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? So your, it just kind of expands. Like, you know, some people get saved. Oh, I'm saved. I'm good. I'm in.
Yeah, you know? That's all I need. I don't need nothing else.
I'm in. I'm just, I ain't going to hell. I'm good. I'm just going to ride this thing on out. But as you mature and get closer, you know, closer to the Father and build that relationship, you start to wonder, well, what God, what do you want? You know, you start to consider his desires, his wants. What do you want me to do? But, you know, and I know that comes over time, just being consistent and building relationships, but just understanding time. We're not going to be here forever.
Right.
So what is it, Lord, that you have me to do? What work is it that you want me to do? And that's not always in a pulpit, in a ministry, in a church. You know, there's other places. So we need people that are believers in government. We need people running these nonprofits. We need a president that is a believer. You need all of these people in the world to do things that are motivated by God and that God has called us to do.
That is so good. One of the things that I did when I first started like coaching and stuff, I said, I help people leave their 9 to 5. And God was like, you might need to revamp that. Because I don't believe God wanted me to highlight. He wants me to help people go into the place they're called to. Mm-hmm. It may not be entrepreneurship. Right. It may be a job. Right. And so I revamped it and got on that track to help people step into their call boldly. Right. And so obedience is really, really, really important when it comes to that, which is so good. I was going to say the message of the only way you can do it well is do it through entrepreneurship is very dangerous because you hear it a lot. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship. That is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're called to be in the workplace. Everybody cannot leave the workplace because we need the workplaces to thrive. Right. Like you can create a legacy working for somebody else. And I'm just saying that because I feel that on my heart that somebody has bought into the message that it has to be entrepreneurship. It does not have to be entrepreneurship. It can be entrepreneurship. It can be workplace or it can be both. You can do both, right? You just have to decide, how am I going to be obedient and show up for God, right? That's how can I glorify him and make him proud? I think that's just like the key of any role. Even so, I thought about something that you just said, to keep in mind, and I want you to encourage the person who is listening right now, who may not feel like they're glorifying God, who may feel like they're confused, who may feel like, I feel like what I'm doing is just pointless. Like, how can you encourage that individual in where they are right now?
I think it is good to understand, again, kind of going back to our conversation, is to understand that you are creating his image, right? You are created in his image. And I know there are times where we're high and there's times that we are low, but the greatest motivation that I get is just from my personal time, just reading the scriptures, praying, meditating. It brings encouragement. It brings water to desolate places that people don't always see. You know, you see the physical me, but there's so much more to me. So I think just, again, just building up yourself, esteeming yourself, you know, whatever that takes, whatever that takes. For some people it's, you know, saying things verbally. I have a girlfriend who she had scriptures and she had her vision board and she has these things everywhere in her apartment. Yeah. So everywhere she looks, there's affirmations all around her just to help to, you know, just to continually just to build her esteem up. Because again, if you don't believe it, then no one else will either.
Yes. That is so good. I love that. I love that. So you just gave us advice on how You can build yourself up if you're feeling like you're in a low place and you've experienced failure after failure after failure.
Yes.
I absolutely love that.
There's so many examples. I love Oprah's masterclass. I have watched it on so many people from different genres of music, to different other paths and business, but you can always take away something. These people experienced so much and had so much failure before getting to success. And I think I boohoo cried so many times just watching people triumphant moments, you know, because you can relate. You may not listen to rap music, but when someone gets and they start to tell their story on, you know, how they were brought up in poverty and how this happened and these things and all of these barriers that they face, you know, regardless of, you know, if you agree with them or not, still as a human being, you can relate. You can relate. So, you know, with discretion, I think that you can always listen and take something away. You don't have to chew the whole thing, right? You gotta know what to spit out. Some things, you know, I listen to like Louis Farrakhan. I can listen to some things he say, some things I can digest, some things I'm like, no, I don't agree with. To be able, and that takes maturity, right?
I was about to say, you gotta be mature enough to recognize that.
Right. You gotta be mature enough to recognize it, because, you know, he's not gonna come and change my faith.
Yes, right.
If you can change my faith, I ain't have it at all anyway.
Right.
It wasn't much to begin with.
Yeah, that's
all that it took. So definitely, you know, listen, read, listen to other people, get into some podcasting, listen to this podcast, listen to other podcasts, so that you can be poured
there
into.
There are tons.
Yeah, there are tons to help motivate you, to help, you know, to have you to look at things out of different lenses. I always say to myself, like, okay, my lens is different. I grew up in a small town. I had both of my parents, very conservative parents. So my lens is different. And sometimes I have to adjust them.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. Everyone did not grow up like this. Everyone didn't grow up in church. Everyone doesn't have these mannerisms. And I have to like adjust my lenses, right?
Yes. I love
especially
that.
Dealing with people, because people are coming from all different backgrounds and they have different barriers and different things that have taken place in their lives. And so even when I am talking to others, if I'm presenting something, I keep that in mind. I don't know what these people have been through. So I can't assume that my lens is their lens.
I love that. And that is, that's such good advice for anywhere, no matter where you are. Like, we can't just go and I know people just go and just try to pour out, you know, all this, not that... Let me see, how do I say this professionally? Just pouring the Bible on people and they are not even at that level. Like, that can actually turn some people off. And I've had people that I've worked with that would just drown you with the Bible and I haven't even cracked it open from the beginning. Like, you're my Bible right now and you're drowning me. I can't breathe. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And just keeping in mind that everybody doesn't communicate the same. I remember being in the office and being called angry. That I was being, what's the word that they use?
Aggressive. Disgruntled? Oh, what was it?
Aggressive. Yeah, okay. My tone was aggressive.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm like, my tone is aggressive? So this person can come to my desk and yell at me, and all I did was stand in my authority and speak back, and I'm aggressive? Like, how did that happen? So I had to learn even through that, that there are some people who was abused. And so my tone... Mm-hmm. Probably doesn't need to be as strong for this person as it did for this person. Like, being able to discern that. So doing those, like, doing those self-reflections and really being discerning of, how do I say this, Lord? Holy Spirit, tell me how to say this right now, because right now this person is his tone, you know, this drill sergeant side of me.
Right.
You know, like, how do I discern that? So I think that's really good advice for somebody in understanding how to deal with people in the workplace, because that's a big deal. I was going to ask you that, like, how do you suggest to someone, or what are some tips to deal with a difficult boss or difficult people in the workplace?
Yeah, and I definitely have had that. And I would say majority of the times I have come into that type of environment where it has been a difficult boss, it's communication. Mm. And it normally has worked for me with one-on-one communication. I have learned not to address things that may not like or, care for in group settings. Because
Yes.
sometimes that few put more fuel on the fire.
Yes.
And sometimes you just, again, sometimes it takes, I know it takes maturity and it takes a lot to
Yes.
sometimes take these and go like this. I'm not gonna say anything right now. I think
Yes.
I'm always an advocate for, expressing yourself, but doing it in a more respectful manner. And I think 101 really helps to have just a better communication about whatever the problem is. In
I
front of
love
people
that.
is just not the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because then, you're kind of on the spot, they're on the spot, and they may become more defensive than
Yes.
they would be if it was just one-on-one. And then always have an open mind to hear their side.
Yes.
Adjust your lenses.
I love
I'm not
that.
always right. I am not
Yes.
always right. So be able to adjust your lenses and hear the other person out. Sometimes your boss, you may get into a conversation and you may learn something about him or her,
Yeah.
why they view it that way. They may have
Yes.
someone breathing down their neck, so they may be
Right.
coming out a little bit more aggressive, not intentionally. They're human, so they're
Yes.
managing their human emotions, right?
Yes.
Just like, my human emotions, like last week when I came in and I didn't halfway speak to nobody. Nobody
Right.
told me to. So, what I'm saying? So, you have to be able to really adjust your lens and understand they're human just like you're human.
I
They're
love
human
that.
just like I'm human. And I'm not always jipper. And there's been times I have taken wrong approaches to situations.
Yeah.
So, keeping that in mind and adjusting those lenses. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Just those lenses, girl, because you're
That,
not perfect either. And
yes.
try to see it from their point of view. And a lot of times, that one-on-one conversation, you'll begin to see more a relaxed version of, your boss or even your coworker. And they may begin to share, or even apologize. I'm sorry, that was not my intention. This is
Yes.
why this is going on. The company has cutbacks, or the company has a tighter deadline, or we lost funding. Sometimes you
Yes.
don't even know what's going on, behind the scene, especially in those higher leadership roles.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it. This has been so good. I said 10 minutes ago that that was my last question. But I really do appreciate you for coming on and just dropping so many good nuggets. I know that somebody will be blessed by listening to this. Do you have any last thoughts or words that you'd like to share with those who are listening?
Sure, I do. For anyone that is just, feeling inadequate, I just want to keep reminding you that you are the asset. And anything that you have in your heart, that thing that keeps you up at night, that thing that really tugs on your heartstring, that
Yeah.
is what you have been called to change or to do.
Yeah.
Anything that you see, any problem that you have identified that you really feel in your whole being, that's it. If you're
That's
looking for
it.
your passion, that's it.
Okay.
That is it. So lean into that.
Yes.
Pray and ask God, what's your next move? How do you go about it? Just like Regina was saying, everyone's not called into entrepreneurship. And that is fine. That is
Yep.
fine. There may be an organization that needs a director, that needs a coordinator, that needs
Yes.
someone to come and project manage these different other entities within their organization. And that passion that you have could be connected to that. So
Yes.
don't think just because it's not entrepreneurial, that you can't do it or I shouldn't do it. No, the world
Yes.
needs what's inside of you. Keep your passion burning and
Yes.
get that connected in the workforce.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you all for just taking the time to listen to Miss Brittany. I have enjoyed this conversation and I look forward to just you growing and learning from this conversation.
Yes.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to mentor me, please check out reginatgreen.com, where I offer 1 hour clarity power hour, and I offer up to 12 month mentorship, where you can join and meet with me once a month or purchase 12 sessions and use them how you want. What is my mentorship about? My mentorship is to help those in transition. If you're transitioning and stepping into ministry, stepping into entrepreneurship, stepping into a new career, stepping into just to a newness of your life, a new assignment or the new call, and you need help and you need someone to talk to you, hold you accountable, and finally be able to implement those ideas that's been in your head and you're not sure how to do it, that's why I want to mentor you. That's how I will mentor you. Go to RegineTGreen.com and I'd love to work with you. Take care. I look forward to hearing you on the next episode.